Hello and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris.
I'm Sharad Kutin.
Welcome to Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. The tabling of several amended provisions of the federal constitution relating to the Malaysia Agreement 1963 has been delayed indefinitely. According to the MA63 bill was initially scheduled to be tabled in Dewan Rakyat yesterday, to be followed by a second reading on Thursday. But according to the de facto law minister, the tabling of the bill was delayed because a consensus could not be reached on some of the proposed amendments. Now, back in April of 2019, the then Pakatan Harapan administration had failed to get its MA63 constitutional amendments passed. So will this postponement be yet another setback in efforts to address the perception that the Federation has deviated from the agreement that led to the formation of Malaysia in 1963? Let's ask James Chin. He's a professor of Asian Studies at University of Tasmania, Australia. He joins us now. James, what do you understand to be the cause of contention with these amendments? I mean, it seems that some of the ministers have asked for further clarification on the amendments. What do you think is behind the holdup?
So to understand the holdup, you need to understand that unlike 2019, this time they're asking for three amendments. Out of the three amendments, I suspect only one is controversial. So let me go through quickly the three amendments. The first one is the one that is similar to 2019, and that is simply Article 1, Subsection 2, that will take up Sabah and Sarawak from the list of all the states in Malaysia and simply stick it to a separate line. The second one is Article 160, Subsection 2. That one defines the Federation of Malaysia before 63 as the Federation of Malaya, after 63 as the Federation of Malaysia Act, and that includes a statement about Singapore leaving the Federation. And the final amendment is Article 161, and that basically says that a native of Sarawak is whoever is listed as a native in the Sarawak State Constitution. So basically, it's the middle one that is highly controversial. The first one is not controversial, it's largely symbolic. The third one is basically saying that it's up to the Sarawak government and Sarawak Constitution to define who is a native. It is the middle one that is causing a lot of issues because I think there is a large part of the Malayan political establishment who are worried about the complicated wordings, and they worry that there may be implications because of the wordings referring to the Malaysia Agreement that will lead to legal problems in the future.
Now, James, it seems like a clarification might be a code for precisely this kind of lack of consensus. And perhaps you could help us understand what possible implications are there arising from this amendment, especially when it relates to, you know, the general demand for greater autonomy, perhaps over revenue, about policy, about parliamentary representation?
Well, the thing is, anything that is related to a legal agreement, right, becomes very complicated, especially if you define it broadly. So as I mentioned, the middle amendment, Article 160, because it refers to the formation of the Federation based on the Malaysia Agreement, this leaves a lot of room for lawyers in the future to sort of take action based on the Malaysia Agreement. It is just widely defined that the Federation of Malaysia from 63 onwards is based on the agreement called the Malaysia Agreement. So I think there are potential for legal issues in the future. So that's the reason why I think several cabinet members are a bit worried about it. I also think that part of the reasons why there's also a lot of worry about this is that you have to remember this Malaysia Agreement thing, right? Although it's a big, big issue in Sabah and Sarawak, it's really a non-issue among the Malayan political establishment. They don't see this as a big deal. A lot of them, I suspect, are quite happy that, you know, we're just going to amend Article 1, put Sabah and Sarawak on a separate line, and you guys shouldn't be asking for anything after that. So I think there's an element of that as well. And that is, you know, the Malayan political establishment that thing that, you know, once we give in to Article 1, don't ask for any more.
Okay, but surely it is important to you know, the voters in Sabah and Sarawak, and I'm just wondering what this postponement could mean for GPS as it gears up for the upcoming elections. Is this a blow to GPS?
So I think if this amendment doesn't go through, I think it will reflect badly on GPS. GPS has staked their reputation in some ways on this amendments going through. You have to remember this amendment, the one I'm talking about, Article 160, right? This was something that they asked for in 2019. And even then, the Attorney General at that time also raised issues with the wording of GPS. So this time we're seeing exactly the same thing. So it comes back really to this issue of whether the Malayan political establishment is really willing to recognize the Malaysia Agreement as the basis for the formation of the Federation. You see, you have to remember that a lot of people actually are quite conservative on this issue on the Malayan side. There is a thought, in fact, I would say the majority of people think that Sabah and Sarawak shouldn't complain too much. You already have a certain autonomy, for example, immigration and other stuff. And also, there's also the thinking that once you join the Federation, right, you're part of the club, you shouldn't try to separate yourself and make yourself, put yourself in a special position in regards to the rest.
But James, you know, never before have Sabah and Sarawak played such a pivotal role in the formation of federal government. So if they have that leverage, what do you think will happen now? I mean, will they use that leverage to push their case, or are we going to see some sort of evasive response, which will just kick this can down the road again?
Well, my take is that the compromise solution is really just to change Article 1, Subsection 2. So symbolically, Sabah and Sarawak will be put on a separate line. The other one, the highly controversial one, I suspect it will not go through. The third one about Sarawak Constitution defining who's a native, again, that one is really not controversial. I think that one will go through as well. But the problem is that GPS has staked this whole thing based. They want to put it as a one package consisting of these three amendments. So I think, it probably will go through, but it will take some time. The thing that worries me is that if these things become very heated, they might not proceed with all three at all. And my take is that if they don't get it done this time, you have to wait for a new government to do it. Because I doubt very much, if the thing becomes very messy, they'll come back to it again. So this thing, as you mentioned, will probably be kicked down to the next government if it doesn't happen. And I think that will be extremely bad for the Federation. The other thing that worries me is that this whole hoo-ha about all these things in terms of concerns, it could also be in some way a trap for the politicians in Sabah and Sarawak, that the Malayan political establishment is using it as an excuse to test the mettle of the politicians in Sabah and Sarawak. As many of your viewers know, many of them are actually quite frugal. Part of the problem with Sabah and Sarawak is that the politicians themselves, although in public they say they support MA63, when it comes to the crunch, there are lots of division even within the politicians in Sabah and Sarawak. So, this thing, it can go either way.
James, thank you so much for sharing those insights with us. We appreciate your time. Political analyst Professor James Chin there. We're going to take a quick break here and consider this, but we'll be back with more on this topic. So stay tuned. Hi, thank you so much for staying with us on Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, with me Sharad Kutin. However, if you've just joined us on the show, we're discussing the delayed tabling of constitutional amendments relating to the Malaysia Agreement 1963, or MA63. Joining us now is Baru Bian, Member of Parliament for Selangor Sarawak. He's also a Leadership Council Member for Parti Sarawak Bersatu, or PSB. Baru, good evening. Sarawak Chief Minister,
yes,
has downplayed the postponement of the tabling of the bill related to MA63. I'm wondering how you're interpreting the postponement.
Well, we are very disappointed, of course, that it came to this postponement. We are very excited, of course. Personally, I was quite looking forward for this moment, this historical moment. But the moment I read that it is now this is being postponed, definitely we are very disappointed with that. Now, I don't know what are the possible reasons, except that we have read in the papers that they need consultation from the AG chambers. And again, we were told, reading again from the papers, that they would be having an audience with the AG on the 29th of this month. Yeah.
Baru, you know, you state your disappointment. A number of other representatives, especially on the Borneo states and also Pakatan Harapan, has stated their disappointment. But what about the ground? I mean, are voters in Selangor, you, for which you are the Member of Parliament, do they take these questions of MA63 and the provisions in it as seriously as political representatives do?
Well, this issue, Sharad, had been on. It had been raised, in fact, for the last 2 decades. I mean, I joined politics in 1991. Soon after, the MSCT had been a very important issues that we, from the opposition side, had been raising in Sarawak. Eventually, when the late Tok Dan became the chief minister around 2015, he was the first chief minister, first leader, the government, from the government side, that acknowledged this very fact, acknowledged the fact that MSCT3 is crucial for Sarawak and the issue of equal partners in the formation of Malaysia, the issue of royalty, the issue of development, and many others become a real issue. And only I recall after he raised this up publicly that the whole state begin to jump on the issue together. And I think since then, we have been raising this issue. We have been harping on the issue. And of course, when PH became the government, we pushed this through as well. Of course, you all know that unfortunately, it was not supported by GPS. So now, when they talk about putting it back again on the table, of course, you are very excited about it. I don't care. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, although the proposed wordings are a bit different from what was proposed by PH, I am prepared to support it because the essence of the whole thing is that you're putting back the status of Sabah and Sarawak to its status prior to 1976.
Right. Apparently, Baru, there's no consensus on some of the amendments. And as you said, you know, we're going to have to wait to find out when the next date for the tabling might be. But if it is postponed indefinitely, what impact do you think this might have on the upcoming Sarawak elections?
Oh, definitely it would have some impact, Melissa, because, I mean, one, it would be perceived to be just a political gimmick in the first place. The GPS is trying to probably just to outdo what PH had done before. And now they're saying that, of course, with the exhaustive proposal for the amendment, that it will be a better option than PH. But now you are not going to table it. And if this is postponed indefinitely, then definitely people would be asking why. And definitely people would be saying that, look, you are not holding to your promises, you know, because this is something that is so important to the people of Sarawak. And I see that it would be a real disadvantage to GPS if they do not fulfill this.
Right. Baru, last week, there was a lot of talk that the the assembly would be dissolved and Sarawak would go to an early election, that emergency would be ended early. And then we've had only silence since. What do you understand about the status of this? What do you think has happened?
I don't know. We just hear rumors, Sharad, of the fact that there is the possibility that the YDP Yang Agong is not in agreement to the request by GPS. From the way we read from the papers, they won the election now. They won the election. In fact, it was so hot, hotly rumored last week that it would be dissolved last week. Then election would be in November. Now, suddenly there was a silence, as you said, you know. So I suspect, because this is a prerogative of the Yang di-Pertuan Agong, and therefore the chief minister and the government cannot simply just request for an end to the emergency. The Agong had declared emergency up to the 2nd of February. Now, I think it is very difficult for the chief minister and the governor to dictate to the Agong as to when they would like to have the emergency ended. So I think that is one of the possible scenarios right, as I look at the whole thing.
Well, thank you, Baru, for joining us on the show. Selangor MP Baru Bian there sharing his insights. Let's take a quick break and more on this topic in just a few minutes. Stay tuned. Thank you so much for staying with Sharad and I on Consider This. Joining us now, we have Dato' Sri Wilfred Madiastanga, MP for Tuaran Sabah. He's also the party president of United Progressive Kinabalu Organisation, or better known as UPCO. Madias, MA63, a core component of the MOU that was signed between the government of Ismail Sabri and the Pakatan Harapan Coalition under the Political Transformation and Stability Agenda. I'm just wondering how this postponement of the tabling of this bill, the amendments, might impact the MOU?
We have been assured that the will eventually be tabled within this session, during this session, because there is another constitutional amendment, Article 119, which must be amended within this session, in other words, by December. Which is the automatic registration of voters, you know, exemption to the royalties and all this. So I think it's going to be done together with that, you know. But it would have been better if the second reading has been done tomorrow as scheduled, because then the government will be there to really explain the justification why this amendment has to be done, okay? From from my research, from my reading of the past amendment, when it was first amended in 1976, 13 July 1976, the Prime Minister who tabled the amendment then, there was no justification, there was no explanation as to why we are amending that part, Article 1.2, at that time. So this time, I would expect the government to explain in detail as to why this amendment is being done, you know, what is the rationale behind the whole thing. From the perspective of Sabahans and Sarawakian, this particular amendment is very important to us, because it's supposed to reflect the whole notion of Sabah and Sarawak being equal partner to the Federation of Malaya, all right? And therefore, then, it has to go into the handset. It must be, the government must explain that is actually the intention, okay? That must be the intention, okay? So we have been brief, actually, on the content, on the wording and things like that. And essentially, what is being done is simply to revert back to the original version of Article 1.2, okay. However, this time, there will also be amendment on Article 160, which simply is the interpretation of the Federation. Okay. Now, that part is also quite tricky, because if Article 1.2 gives you the if Article 1.2 is supposed to reflect the equal partnership of Sabah and Sarawak in the Federation of Malaya, then the definition of the Federation at Article 160 must be done in such a way that it will reflect that intention. Okay? But from my own reading, I'm not a lawyer. Okay, I'm not a lawyer, but from my own reading of the from the briefing given by the minister, yes, finally this time they will insert pursuant to MA63, because in the present federal constitution, no way in this in the whole document Malaysian Agreement 1960 was mentioned. Okay, so this time it's going to be mentioned in there. However, if you look at it, you know, the whole definition, you know, beginning from the 1957 Malaysian Malay Agreement, and then Malaysian Agreement 1963, and then the separation of Singapore and things like that, the whole thing to me is only amounting to a narrative which says that this Malaysia, Federation of Malaysia, is nothing but an expansion of the Federation of Malaya. And if that is the case, then it goes against the whole notion of Sabah and Sarawak being equal partners. So this is the tricky part, okay? So perhaps this delay...
So, Matias,
let me finish the last sentence, okay?
Yeah.
Okay, but perhaps the delay in the tabling can give us some time to reflect on this, you know, so that we'll get the actual construction of the amendment, so that it will reflect both: one, equal partnership with the Federation of Malaya, and second, that this Federation of Malaya is something, a new federation, that we formed this federation and we didn't simply join, you know. So in bahasa, kita tidak masuk Malaysia, tetapi kita membentuk Malaysia. Yeah.
So, Matias, it's very interesting because you said that you're confident that this is a bill will actually be tabled within the session, something that Wan Junaidi, the de facto law minister, didn't seem to, at least was reported saying that there might not be time, he said, because budget matters would dominate the session from now on. But be that as it may, I want to ask you, is this merely a symbolic matter about the narrative, or is it going to impact things like revenue, policy, and representation in Parliament?
No, that's nothing to do with representation in Parliament as yet. This is only to address the basic framework in the formation of this nation. Okay, so nothing. There won't be budgetary implication as yet. There won't be implication on the representation in Parliament. Inside. That will be another day of, you know, you have to make amendment another day. You know, in fact, just in this one alone, there are a lot more work to be done. But to us, it is important that you take this first step, and then from here, then we can build on this to the next. We'll take it to the next step. For example, right? The Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin, he made an announcement in Kuching that Sabah and Sarawak is now a territory, a wilayah, not just a state. Okay, although there was no secular to that effect, but that has been the dream of the Sabah and Sarawakian, because they really think that we are an equal partner to Peninsula Malaysia. All right, so if indeed we are just a territory, we are more than a state. We are not just another state in a federation. And then the whole federal constitution has to be amended to reflect that intention. Otherwise, it will not be legal. It will just be, you know, they are just saying it. Yeah. So okay. We have to address that first before we go into budgetary implication or representation in Parliament and things like that.
Okay, understood. Thank you so much for joining us on the show tonight. Dato' Sri Wilfred Matias Dangau of UPCO there. That's all we have for you on this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin, signing off for the evening.
Thank you so much for watching, and good night.